This is an important point which Prabhupada makes. See, you can't say because we are separated from Krishna, Krishna is less, but you also can't say you are less. You are divine, Philip. You are godly. You are a part of God. So, just like God doesn't lose anything when you take away from Him, also, you who are taken away from Him don't lose anything. You don't lose your soul. Your soul is there, which is eternal, which is full of knowledge, and which is just so blissful. Never, the only thing you can do is you can forget yourself, and then you can suffer in forgetfulness. But Krishna never forgets about you, and He wishes that you always return back to Him. So when you have obtained this knowledge from a self-realized soul, you will never fall into illusion, no matter what is happening to you. Because by this knowledge, by the strength of this knowledge, which is light in the darkness, you will see that all beings are a part of the Supreme, that they are Krishna. And therefore, when you meet anyone, you should respect him. You should have great honor. And when you see that these people have forgotten themselves, you should try to help them to remember what they have forgotten.
That's a beautiful part.
I like this verse in the Gita very, very much. It speaks very, very clear to me. It encourages me. When I'm reading this verse, I always think I want to light a candle. The candle of knowledge, which will put light into this dark, illusory world. A light by which we can see ourselves, and light by which we can see the Supreme, and by which we can see all others. Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prishtaya Bhutale Simate Bhakti Vedanta Sami Nitti Namine Namaste Saraswate Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paskatyare Sadarine Jaya Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nitananda Shri Advaita Garadhara Shivashadi Gaur Bhaktavrinda Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. There's one particular pastime of Lord Krishna which very much shows something about his mind and his nature. And I would like to tell it today to you. This pastime is about Krishna as a little child. You must know that Krishna passes through three ages. The first age, which lasts up to five, is Komara. The next age, which is from 6 to 10, is Poganda. And the next age, which is from 10 or 11 to 15, is Kaishora. Now the amazing thing is, because Krishna is God, He is simultaneously present in all the three ages. He's present for His parents and the friends of His parents in the Komara age, the very young, childlike age. For His friends who go out with Him into the forest to wrestle and to herd cows, He's always present in the age of Poganda, from 6 to 10. They run through the forest and have their childhood pastimes. And for the beautiful gopis, He is present as an adolescent boy, a young boy in full blossom of his youth. And once again, I need to tell to you that Krishna is simultaneously present in these ages. However, there's one particular age whose qualities are always seen even in the other two ages. Can you imagine? Well, it's a difficult question, isn't it? Is the question clear? I'm sorry. The question, Jananivas, Krishna is present in three ages, but there is one age of the three ages which is visible for all and which is present for all. You will understand when I give the answer to my difficult question. It's the age of Kumara. Krishna always has the playfulness of a little child, the innocence, the joy, the exuberance, the jubilance, the desire to celebrate and be happy, and the childlike Unbeschwertheit. Can you hear what it means? It's without any burden. The unburdened being. The restlessness, the quick movements of the eyes, the blossoming smile which is all of a sudden there, this most charming quality which attracts everyone to a young child. Have you seen young children are extremely attractive, and then when they become old and older, we all lose this type of attractiveness, this childlike innocence, this simple, explosive, exuberant joy. And when we see it in someone, we are fascinated. When we see this in his laughter or in the wide eyes, this free from any story, free from any, you know, the child has no filter of the mind. It doesn't think so complicated. Pavel, it has not gone to psychology and philosophy and sociology and politicology and ecology classes. And that makes him so attractive because he's free from the umski. Please don't be. I notice sometimes devotees ask, why did Sachinanda Swami say my name at this moment? It has nothing with you in particular to do, Pavle. It's the universal Pavle, the universal you, the universal person who is well educated in this world. There are some children, they are called the indigo children. They run away from school when they are very young because they don't want to lose their childlike nature. They become more, there used to be very few, now they're becoming more. So Krishna, even when he is with his friends, has this childlike quality. Krishna, even when he is in his youth, has this restlessness, this child, this freshness, this thing. Krishna, even when he is in Dwaraka, has this playful nature. Even when he is 125 years on the planet. This is God, the God of love, not the God of the mind. You are looking at me, and I am looking at you. So, Krishna used to exhibit this quality fully in his Vrindavan pastimes of stealing milk and yogurt. Once Mother Yashoda said to him, why do you have to always steal? We have so many cows. And Krishna says, who is stealing? And then he said, it's my nature. I steal butter. Then I steal sometimes clothes. But I always steal hearts. It's my nature. How does Krishna steal hearts? By his attractiveness. And I would like to tell you a little bit how Krishna used to just bind everyone's heart on him by sometimes mischievous childlike activities. When Krishna was a young boy, he was known of breaking into the houses of the elderly gopis and stealing the yogurt and the milk. And when they were he would come when they are not, when they were not at home, when they were worshipping in the temples. Sometimes he would come when they were at home. But when they wouldn't find, when he wouldn't find any milk products because they were hidden away, he would go in these dark rooms, and his brilliant ornaments, who wanted to serve him, became like jewel lamps who dispelled the darkness of the rooms so that Krishna could find everything he wanted to find. The gopis would always come to Mother Yashoda and smiling with happiness. They would say, your boy is a thief. He has stolen. And Mother Yashoda would say, I can't imagine this. Look at Krishna. Krishna would be next to Yashoda and he would look extremely orderly. Extremely unthievish. He is not a thief. He's a prince. And we have enough butter and yogurt. Why should he go to you? I just can't believe it. Also, you look so happy. I think you just want to talk about my boy and want to be with us. And Krishna would just smile a little. And his eyes would go. So once it was a particular situation. The gopis had just complained against Krishna. Mother Yashoda didn't take it so serious because the gopis were always smiling and laughing when they talked about Krishna. Krishna is a thief. Krishna would say, nay, 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 nay. And they would, and now he looks so innocent. And they would laugh. Because they were so attracted to Krishna's beauty and his charm. But one day something happened. One day the boys came and said to Mother Yashoda, Mother Yashoda, you have said that Krishna is not eating butter. And that may be true, but we have seen Krishna was eating dirt today. Now Yashoda was very alarmed. Because to steal and eat butter is healthy. But to eat dirt is unhealthy. And her motherly worries came. What if it is true that Krishna sticks everything in his mouth? And what if it is true that he has now eaten dirt? And she went to Krishna out of love, out of, you know, let him eat everything, you know, which is healthy, but not the unhealthy things. And she went to Krishna and said, Krishna, you have eaten dirt. Nay, said Krishna. Well, your friends have said so. They wouldn't say anything which is untrue because they love you. They are your friends. And in addition to this, Baladev has come and said it. They would not tell on you. Krishna said, today they are lying. Because they just are liars. Yashoda was thinking, I have to check him. Then she said, Krishna, if you have not eaten dirt, then you have to show it to me. Prove it. Open your mouth. Now Krishna didn't want to open his mouth. Krishna has two energies, you must know. One is the Leela Shakti, who is engaging in pastimes, and the other is the Aishvarya Shakti. It's a powerful Shakti which can make the impossible possible. The Sanskrit is the Agatana Gatana Shakti. And this Shakti came to protect Krishna. So Krishna saw the arrival of his Aishvarya Shakti, who stood before him with folded hands. Can I serve you, Bhagavan? Moshe, said Krishna. And opened his mouth. And at this moment, Yashoda saw by this tremendous, you know, potency which can make everything possible. She saw this scene which you see there. And this most beautiful half-finished painting. She saw the eight elements. She saw time element. She saw the pradhan, and she saw the prakriti. She saw everything, and she saw also. It's very nicely painted, indicated. She saw also herself looking in Krishna's mouth. So at this moment, Mother Yashoda was overwhelmed with love. If she would have been an ordinary devotee like you and me, she would have thought, this is God. But because she was not an ordinary devotee, she was a special premi bhakta who was an ragatmika associate of Lord Krishna. She could not accept that Krishna is God. She wanted him to be her little son whom she could also lovingly educate. So she said, it's not possible. What I see is induced by some ghost. Magic, magic, magic. Zimzalabim, zimzalabim. And therefore I'm now seeing this. Because Krishna, I want Krishna to be my little boy whom I take care of. And you know, who is the source of universes? Mahavishnu, someone says. Mahavishnu, you can't chai at. You can't punish. When you come with a stick to Mahavishnu, oh, Mahavishnu will look at you. He might open his mouth and swallow you like a universe. Mahavishnu, you can also not breastfeed. Mother Yashoda did not want to sacrifice her relationship with Krishna as a little boy whom she could love as a mother can love her little boy. She didn't want to sacrifice this relationship and think Krishna is the Almighty Vishnu. Can you understand? And Krishna certainly also didn't want his mother to lose his mother bhav and become afraid of him, as one becomes afraid of Vishnu. So Krishna said to Aishwarya Shakti, enough is enough, please remove. I don't want you here in Braj. No use for you. And Aishwarya Shakti went away. Thank you for letting me do your service and protect you from your mother for a moment. At this moment, the Aishwarya Shakti receded, and Mother Yashoda again looked at Krishna and said, you're my little boy. And at this moment, there was the best of cats who wanted to also serve Krishna. And the cat went, meow! And Krishna went, Mother, I'm so afraid. Like I saw when we were in Sasha's place and there was a little rabbit, how do we call him? Zets. A little Zets. And he came too close to Radha Kripa. At that moment, Radha Kripa was shouting for help, and Jai Gopal jumped up in the Kung Fu position. I have seen personally. So Krishna also went like, oh! Then the cat screamed. And Mother Yashoda said, prove, he is not God. He is not God. Then she remembered. But Gaga Muni had said when Krishna was born, and he read the horoscope, that my boy is the Almighty Narayan. Then she thought again. But what does Gaga Muni know? He only studies books. I know what a mother knows, and that's the truth. So Mother Yashoda quickly, after being shocked a little by the Aishwarya Shakti and seeing that her little boy was so extraordinary, Mother Yashoda quickly, because she is not an ordinary devotee, struggled against this, and Krishna helped her by removing his Aishwarya Shakti. Because Krishna wants to love his devotees in the way the devotees want to love him. He is that very, very attractive personality of Godhead. Krishna is so wonderful. Krishna is the God of love. And as we have heard today, when you are out of illusion, you know that you are a part of Krishna. And what this implies, my dear devotees, is you will know that Krishna loves you and you will not be emotionally starving. Hare Krishna. Only when you are in illusion and forget that you are a part of Krishna, and you forget the love of Krishna, then you are emotionally starving. No food today. No milk today. No pizza today. I would like to tell you three little advices of wisdom how a devotee can go through this world without being an illusion. This wisdom was taught by a little bird. This bird was once caught by the net of a hunter. And this hunter was just getting ready to take the bird and take the feathers and roast him in the fire when the bird began to speak. My dear hunter, you have eaten so much meat. What use is my little body? I'm so little body. Malapititsi. If you let me live, I will teach you three pieces of wisdom. I will teach you from the first piece of wisdom from your hand, the second wisdom I will teach you from your roof, and the third wisdom I will teach you from the branch of the tree. The hunter said, Moshe. Took the bird, and the bird went on his hand and said, never lament for what is in the past. It's gone. It's water, as we say in Germany, which has passed through the bridge and under the bridge. You cannot get it back. Never lament for anything which happened in the past. Don't live in the past. The hunter said, amazing, thank you so much. Then the bird flew on the roof and said, never believe something which is absurd. Never believe Maya. Absurd? What is absurd? An absurdity? Yeah? And then he said, by the way, in my body was a pearl which was, in my body is a pearl of 10 kg, which was kilos, which was meant as an inheritance for you and your children, but I'm now on the roof. You can't get it. It's not meant for you. The hunter began to cry like a woman. I'm telling the story as it is. Very emotional. That's the idea. Please, women cry beautifully. Very emotionally. And then the bird said to the hunter, hunter, I just told you, don't lament for anything which is in the past. And the third is, I told you, never believe in an absurdity. I don't weigh 10 kgs. Voila! The hunter. I'm enlightened by your wise words, little bird. And then the bird flew on the branch of the tree and said, never put a seed into a desert. That is, never try to invest in a project which is not bringing fruits. Never give yourself wholly to a person who is a fool and who cannot take good instructions. And then he flew away. When I heard this story, I immediately began to think there are some words of wisdom. The first wisdom is, how often do we live in the past? Oh, this happened to me, Madhavananda. And we lament. Why did this happen to me? It's past. You should now be in the present. What can you do as an eternal soul now in the present? The second is, it's good to not believe in Maya's promises that we can be happy in this world. It's an absurdity. It never works. It never worked before. And the third is, we should invest our energy not in a place where we can't get anything out for long. We are all destined to die. We should prepare ourselves for our eternal life. We should invest every day into eternity. I think I told some of you that when I was in the Bosnian mountains, it was on a day where I felt very weak and there was only fog, white fog around me. And I had a little MP3 recorder which Gaura Hari gave me. And I was listening to a lecture of Prabhupada. And Prabhupada said in this lecture, what do you do for eternity? I thought, have I heard it properly? I stopped, and on this MP3 recorder, I don't know if it's possible with every recorder, but you could go a little back and hear it again. You have to be very brittle to not go to the beginning of the lecture. But you can go just very little bit, and then, what do you do for eternity? I said, have I heard this properly? And I heard it again, and the whole walk, I just heard the sentence. And in this one sentence, I felt, when I heard this other thing, the wisdom of the bird is totally present. I don't think spiritual life is something difficult. It's just a very simple memory of what you knew, but what you have forgotten. We are eternal, Tridasharai. All this is a dream. It is a mental perception. It is a fulfillment of desires. We are part of Krishna. We are divine, Philip. We are godly. Yes, you all smile a little insecurely. I'm not sure if you smile because you disbelieve me, or you are not quite sure if maybe everyone is divine except you. Maybe you think like this. No, we are children of eternity. And we should invest in the field of eternity every day with great joy, and it will become, our harvest will become so big. Like now, our Zagreb temple is growing this tremendous amount of vegetables. I heard yesterday the devatas came to inspect our fields because there are so many vegetables on the field. It's a wonder. It seems Mother Earth is just opening her heart to give her fruits to the devotees. So much is there in the Belyova, in our little beginning of an eco-village, that it's just so amazing. It grows very nice. I think we should send maybe Gaura Hari and Saranandi there, and they should chant for a day there. Then even more would come. Why not? You know, why not? And some sound therapy for the plants. or a tape recorder. You should bring a little tape recorder and just try some sound therapy. Invest in the field of eternity and you will have much more harvest than any material field can give you. This is my little advice. And it's very, very easy to do this if you learn a simple mantra, which we have written down here. I want to request Saranandi to maybe put this mantra on the notice board for you. It is a mantra which a devotee says who wants to use his time in the project of eternity. He ends every day with a simple sentences. Whatever I have done today with my body, I offer it to you. Whatever I have said with my words, I offer it to you. Whatever I have thought with my mind, I offer it to you, O Krishna. Whatever I have perceived with my senses, I offer it to you, Krishna. Whatever I have understood with my intelligence today, I offer it to you. Isn't that wonderful? Because if you chant like this every day, you will, the next day, you know, it's psychology. Whatever you go into bed with, that stays with you in bed and wakes with you up in the morning. Hare Krishna. If you're in the Grihastha ashram, it is your child you bring to bed with and sleep with him. The child will be with you when you go to sleep. It will be with you through the night and it will wake you up. Hi, Mom! In the morning. Thoughts also are like children. They stay with you when you go to bed. They stay with you throughout the night and they wake up with you in the morning. So that's why a devotee chants as his last offering in the day that whatever I do, I offer it to you. Would you like to say the Sanskrit with me? Kayena vacha manasendiyai va budhyatmana vanushrita svabhava karomi yat yat karomi yat yat sakalang parasmai sakalang parasmai narayana yeti samapayami. That's what the priests say on the altar. Samapayami. Yes, and they offer it. Whatever I've done with my body, it's for you, Krishna. What I've said with my words, for you, Krishna. What I've thought with my mind, for you. What I've perceived with my senses, for you. What I have understood with my intelligence, just for you. My dear devotees, when I started to chant this mantra, I was naked in a tree, covered with 7 liters of oil in a panchakarma treatment. And from the loudspeakers, I always heard this mantra. Kayena vacha manasendriyeva. I heard it. And I asked the masseurs, what is this mantra? And they told me, that's a mantra how to stay in God consciousness. I said, give me this mantra. And later I found out you can find this mantra in the 11th canto of the Bhagavatam. It's a very powerful mantra. Please look for it next time you come. It will be on the blackboard. Maybe Irena can even translate it. So, I want to end this class with this question: what do we do for eternity, for Krishna, by telling you what that we are representatives now of all of you. We will make a pilgrimage to Braj. It's a long pilgrimage. It starts in Switzerland, goes over America, and I don't know why I did this tour, but I simply did not know how to say no. That is the only explanation. But the good thing is, it ends in Vrindavan. And in Vrindavan, there we find something which is very, very heart-touching. We find people who actually search after Krishna. Prabhupada says, in Vrindavan there are still, at this time, many devotees of the Lord who stay there in ecstasy in search of Krishna. They want to find Krishna and his childhood associates, the gopis. It is not that such devotees meet Krishna face to face in the tract of land, but a devotee's eagerly searching after Krishna is already as good as his seeing him personally. Have you noted Prabhupada's statement? He says, if you just start to search after Krishna, search means you look for him. Where is he? Sherlock Holmes. Where is Krishna? How do we say? Gdis Krishna, isn't it? Desi Krishna. Desi Krishna. If you are in the mood of Desi Krishna, where are you, Krishna? It's as good as finding him. It's as good as seeing him. And then Prabhupada tries to explain it, but he decides to say, how this is so cannot be explained. But it is factually realized by those who are devotees of the Lord. And then Prabhupada tries to again to explain it. Philosophically, one can understand that Lord Krishna and his remembrance are on the absolute plane, and that the very idea of searching for him at Vrindavan in pure God consciousness gives more pleasure to the devotee than seeing him face to face. The idea here is that if you are so absorbed in Krishna by searching for him, Gdesi, 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 Krishna, then you have such a mood in which Krishna can appear. Because don't forget, Philip, you are divine. You are a part of Krishna. It's not that you are very far away. You are only as far away as your mind is far away. But if in your mind appears the desire, where are you, Krishna? Gdesi. Gdesi. Then you have Krishna. Tridasa Roy. Intensity of feeling, that is bhakti. Thirst, that is bhakti. Thirst for Krishna. I want Krishna. I need Krishna. I cannot stay without Krishna. This is what the inhabitants of Vrindavan teach us, and this is what Krishna teaches us through them, by making a leela with them and telling us about how his mother loves him and how he loves his mother and what goes on in the relationship. So, at the end, I want to speak to you in my Braj, tongue. One moment. Hmm. Manusha hoto vahi rasakani basho braja gokula ganvegvaran yo pashu hon hon tokaha bashu medu charano nitoi nandakidenu manjarana. I'm also trying to learn French that I've given up. No teacher is available. Then I try to learn Serbian. And now, bridge Basi. If I have to be reborn as a man, then let me live in Braj as a cowherd boy in the village of Gokul. If I have to be born as an animal, then what shall I be as an animal? I want to be a cow that grazes daily Ananda's herd. But if I'm to become a rock, then let me rest upon the mountain that Krishna held in his hand as an umbrella against Indra's storm. What is the name of this mountain? You know everything. If I am to be a bird, then let me live in the branches of a kadamba tree by the bank of the Yamuna. This is Ras Khan. Now Ras Khan leaves us. When we hear about all this, we think, oh my God, this is such high knowledge. Is there some simple advice how I can go there? And Ras Khan said, yes. Listen, everyone. Listen to everyone very politely, but don't speak much. In this manner, remain in the world. Perform your vows and your practices with all sincerity. Your sadhana is the one thing which will carry you across the mind ocean. So don't be so active in worldly things. Do your sadhana, it will carry you across the mind ocean. Now, how should you act towards others? Greet all without negativity and remain in the enlightening devotional association of devotees. And then he ends his verse, and Krishna Chaitanya read this on his seminar, and I'm just so happy to read this to you. He says something which I said to one devotee also, I think yesterday. Worship Govinda the way a village woman balances a water jug upon her head with effortless concentration. Isn't that beautiful? Don't make Krishna consciousness a spurishan. No, a gritch. Effortless concentration. Just, to say it in this Serbian way, relax. Effortless concentration, just natural. Just like the village women, they go to the well in the morning and then they carry the water pot on the head. And they always know, I have to keep some concentration on the water pot. Because if I don't, and I talk and do all, and joke with my friends, and, you know, then the water pot will fall, and I have to go back to the well, and capture again the water pot. So I better keep it with some concentration on the head. But it should be natural. It should be effortless. Bhakti is something of the heart. Something where you allow your feelings to go to Krishna. This happens whenever you allow yourself the greatest feast in your life, that is to hear about Krishna, to read about Krishna. Please don't starve yourself from this nectar. It's the greatest nectar, the nectar which carries you into eternity. The nectar of the Bhagavatam. It's all about this. Unveiling Krishna's lotus feet, hearing about him, how he's so wonderful, how he's so special. And then you can think of Krishna by being attracted to Krishna. You go like the village women in Vrindavan. All of them have the water, sometimes three pots of water on the head. Hare Krishna, Mataji. Hare Krishna. They are very, very practical, very nice, very. Effortless worship, effortless bhakti. I think that's only possible, my dear devotees, when you allow yourself to be attracted to Krishna by hearing about him, by diving your intellect in the ocean of his qualities and the ocean of his attractiveness. So today I wanted to talk a little bit about Krishna's attractive pastimes, and wanted to highlight how he wants to love his devotees, and he doesn't wish anything to come in between him and the devotees. I wanted to also give some good advice from our tradition, and then I wanted to encourage you to search for Krishna and meet him in your search. I wanted to give you also some sound advice how to do this by the two poems of Raskan. This is what I have presented to you. I hope that I will see you soon. Some of you I might even see in Vrindavan. I have heard that some of you are coming. And then I will come back in January, if I still live. Well, Vrindavan is it's good that this journey ends in Vrindavan. I must tell you very honestly, something has happened to me. When I was young, I just wanted to go everywhere and see and preach everywhere. And now I just want to love Krishna, that this comes in my heart. I don't feel attracted to the Ural Mountains and the Black Sea and the Georgia and Atlanta and where we will all go. It's anyways always the same hard work for me. But it's also when I'm tomorrow in the car, then I have a different vision. Because as a preacher, you know, you have to love what you do. People can feel it if you preach out of duty or if you preach out of love. So you better, if you want to do the service, it will happen. When I'm in the car and Gaurahari goes 240 kilometers an hour or 220 kilometers an hour, then my old spirit will come back. Hare Krishna. Hare Bol. When I'm now going, I'm thinking of all of you. Now, I used to go from Germany, and then I thought of the German devotees. But now I'm more here in this area. I'm thinking of you. I think you will be happy to have a little pause from my intense lectures, where I asked uncomfortable questions like, "What do you do for eternity?" So you can rest a little bit. But then I'm coming back and there will be more spirituality after Vrindavan. Hopefully. Shalom, I'm joking. All right. I think it is a little late. Huh? And we want to serve you pizza. I saw we have pizza. Is it right, Komarava? We have pizza there for all of you. So I wish you a wonderful time. May Krishna protect you. May he protect your words that you talk about spiritual things. May he protect your mind that you remember him. May he protect your intelligence. And may you always know that when you feel a little not so spiritually enlivened, go in a good association of devotees. There, in that association, you will get so many blessings. Srila Prabhupada ki jai, sisi gaunitai ki, go premanandi hari hari bo. Go Madhava.